This is Talk Is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Sasti, here on KEPW 97.3, Eugene, Oregon. KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon. Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming at kepw.org. All right, so today I just have a short piece. Because no one's reporting that the valve turners have won their case, because I guess they don't want you to know that you should be out there turning valves. But you didn't hear that here. I didn't tell you to go turn off the valve to the oil pipeline. But so in honor of that, I've got a and they used the necessity defense that it's necessary to save the environment. And so I'll get into that a little bit. And so because of that, we, when we were got arrested for the trees here back when we were doing Fall Creek, Jeremy Hall used a similar defense, and that had limited success. So I'm going to play you from Jeremy Hall from the late 90s, the Red 90 timber sale, Jeremy Hall, on that. And a little bit of a rant from me on Joe Biden and the current Democratic blunders. And then I have an exclusive for you here, exclusively, only here at kpw.org. We have someone sent us tape, audio from Trumpty Dumpty's negotiations with the Taliban. Yeah, this is unreleased anywhere. You can't find this anywhere but here on KEPW LP 97.3, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming at kepw.org. So that's coming up here on Talk Is Cheap. Tell your friends, support independent media. Go to radioforall.net if you want to download this show. Yeah, thanks for listening. This is Talk Is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Sasti, on KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at kepw.org. I'm going to get in the habit of saying that. Don't forget, we have Dr. Zoom tomorrow at 5, and I believe he has a local band coming in here in Eugene that you're going to want to tune in for that. So, yeah, check out Dr. Zoom, 5 o'clock tomorrow, as I call him, Dr. Zoom! Anyway, The music he plays is, you won't hear it anywhere else. Plays some incredible music, including local programming. Okay, so, and then coming up, I have a short piece with Jeremy Hall from the 90s, from the Red 90 timber sale, where they were, because there was an arson fire, they thought they could just go in and cut down the trees so that it works the other way around, you know. Now, anytime they want to cut down trees, they're just going to have an arson fire. So that was what the Fall Creek, Warner Creek, and all that rigmarole that we went through in the 90s, at least we stopped that. Didn't stop them from cutting down trees. So that's, I have an interview with Jeremy Hall that I did back then when we were, the precursor for this station was Radio Free Cascadia. All right, but first I got a little bit of a ranting I got to do. I listen to NPR all day long. Or as I call it, State Department radio. And you guys got to be kidding. The Democrats got to be kidding that you're putting up Joe Biden. I mean, he's from the state of Delaware, where corporations incorporate in Delaware because they have lax regulations. He's the senator from the state of Delaware, where corporations incorporate. Okay, what are you thinking? I mean, you should be running someone from the far left. The reason Obama got in was because we thought, until he was co-opted by the defense industry, he was, the reason he won was because he got the youth vote, which is what you should be going for. So, well, all I want to hear right now from the Democrats is green infrastructure jobs, no war in healthcare. That's all the mantra I want to be hearing. I don't want to hear, let me tell you the reason why I'm saying this is going to blow up in their face. This latest impeachment thing is going to blow up in their face is because Schiff and Pelosi are both the head of the intelligence committees. They should have investigated George W. Bush and the Iraq War. And they did. So no one's going to take you seriously on any investigation when you leave this giant investigation that should have been done years ago of the unnecessary illegal war with the wrong country that we did, and there's really no reason for any war in the 20th century, let alone the 21st century. Which reminds me real quick, too, just as an aside, there's a show called Body Count that we run on at 1 o'clock on Sundays. Everyone should at least listen to that show once. I mean, it's basically the guy is reading all the deaths that have happened in the week because of war. And it's a really moving, stirring show that you want to check out on Sundays at 5, at Sundays at 1, before Dr. Zoom. It's called Body Count. So, the Democrats are just like throwing the election. And I mean, whether you believe in gun laws or not, we don't need you scaring the conservatives. You know, if you got people jobs, I guarantee you there would be less, and did something about destroying the environment. When you have a little girl begging for you to do something about the environment, and you're worried about, and you're trying to do an impeachment, a ridiculous impeachment thing, I guarantee you if you did something about the environment and got people jobs and healthcare, the shootings will go dramatically down. So, and then a little bit about last week's show. So one of the things I'm campaigning, several things that I'm trying to do myself, is to get the subsidies that we give to the forest industry to switch them to recycling. So, and last week I was talking about institutional investors and and people have just been demonstrating. Amy Goodman just reported that they were demonstrating down in San Francisco, and we demonstrate here at Wells Fargo to stop them from funding war and environmental destruction. So I just want to say that there's people that say that you're participating in a system. Last week I was talking about capitalism tends to expand, and that's why pension funds, if they would look at long term, the stock market goes up over long term. So if you were to just invest in the stock market for your pension funds, you would eventually go up, and everybody would pay. Then you could pay off people for their retirement. So, and you know, ultra leftists say we shouldn't participate in a system you're condoning it. So I'm not going there. But let me, something I realized over the week that is a sustainability concept. Okay, Buckminster Fuller in Critical Path, he has this diagram in there that I've talked about on the show before, where it shows the Earth is this little circle, and then and the material of Earth is this little circle, and then it shows all the material that has been on Earth is this other giant circle that's 10 times the size of Earth, because that is all the life that has recycled, the material that has recycled on Earth from the energy that has bombarded the Earth from the sun. Now, if you were to invest, instead of investing in extraction, if the stock market was investing in the cycle of Earth and the recycling of material, you would still be able to expand enough to invest in people's pension funds. So that's what I was saying last week, is that, yes, capitalism tends to expand, but it doesn't have to expand. It could expand within a cycle, within Earth's cycles, instead of a linear extraction concept. All right, so barring part, and I know you're participating in a system, but I'm just saying, you could use the within Earth's cycles, stay within Earth's cycles. And I just noticed, I was looking up the Vanguard, is an index fund that they have a sustainable, responsible index fund, and it's closed to new investors. Now, I don't know whether it's closed to new investors because it doesn't make any money, because there is no socially responsible way of investing, which I find that hard to believe, or it's just that so many people are going to socially responsible investing that they've actually run out of funds to invest in. So, yeah. So, and the reason I'm saying this, like I say, is the valve turners have not been, this is not being publicized that people are, and it's not being publicized that people are demonstrating in front of Wells Fargo. And these banks should be shut down, and the valves should be shut down. All right, so moving on. So I just want to thank DJ Anonymous. I listened to his show last week. You can listen to it on our website at kepw.org. And his show is called Colors of Air, and he was playing some blues. So this next tune goes out to him. He's 9 p.m. on Wednesdays. And I just want to tell you, Colors of Air, DJ Anonymous, Colors of Air, don't breathe the brown air, okay? And so what this is Peter Gabriel playing the blues. And for those of you who don't think that Robert Fripp has any soul, this is why I play this song. And Robert Fripp is still, and King Crimson are still not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And you know, I really hope they never do get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with the crap. If they want to put Kiss in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I hope King Crimson never gets in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And you know, a band like Coldplay, guy gets up there and he says, one day I was listening to him interviewed, and he says, oh, I play all the chords that I know people will like. And so these are the chords. You will never hear on this show the chords that people will like. I'm hoping when you listen to music on this show, if you go screaming, if you're doing the fish when you listen to music on the show, my job's complete. I've done my job. So that's my little rant. Coming up, Jeremy Hall. For a tree hugger that you're going to hear on KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at KEPW.org. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media in all its forms.
feeling up to zero. Everybody calm. Yeah, everybody here. We're more or less. Wonder why I'm cold. How did I get this far? I had no money. I had no car. I put the snows. But if it settles, cause I we'll be right back.
All right, this is Talk Is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ SSD.
Whoops, with the echo in the background.
On KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at kepw.org. Okay, so like I say, this is Jeremy Hall from the late 90s when I got arrested at for Red Knight for the Trees. And back then, you know, I'm no hero. Back then, it was just a kind of a mock arrest. Although I had to go back up to freaking Lebanon or wherever the courthouse is. It's not even in Salem. I had to go back up there for a trial on a misdemeanor. And they tried to this wasn't happening, because think about this. You can't put ceramic spikes to make. What they tried to do was get me for involuntary manslaughter because someone had put ceramic, they claimed someone had put ceramic spikes in the trees. Now think about this. To make a ceramic spike, you would have to have a special kiln to make something that you could hammer, make a ceramic that you could hammer into a tree. And the reason they make them out of ceramic is because then they go along with a metal detector on a tree to make sure that the tree hasn't been spiked, because these guys have been killed because they'll get a steel spike and the chain flies off the chainsaw and kills and can kill and maim a someone, which is not something I advocate at all. And my whole life, I don't believe in violence at all, and there's no way you can pin that on me at all, because I've always since elementary school, I've been against bullying and violence and my whole life. So, yeah, they tried to pin me for involuntary manslaughter at this trial for being a tree hugger. And we got off, luckily, on a technicality. So, and what this was back then, if you look up Warner Creek and Fall Creek, this was a very successful campaign, a relatively successful campaign. We definitely slowed them down and drew attention to tree cutting. Not enough, unfortunately, but yeah, you might want to look up Warner Creek and Fall Creek and Red 90. And what basically it was they were trying to, like I said, trying to say that they needed to do salvage logging because there had been a fire and arson had set a fire. So what we were worried about was that they were going to now just, anytime they wanted to cut a forest, old growth forest down, they just set a fire and go, oh, well, it's time we got to cut this old growth forest down. So we've put a stop to that, at least. All right, so let's see if the technology gods are in my favor. And like I say, the Valve Turners have had a success in their court case. They got off for turning the valves on the oil pipeline. So this is not being publicized. I'm sure Amy Goodman will get around to it. I haven't heard it on her, but I've not heard it on NPR, and I listen to NPR quite a bit. And I doubt that CNN or Fox has reported that the Valve Turners have won their case, and they got off for turning off the valves on a defense, on the necessity defense, which is that they feel their lives are threatened by fossil fuel use and dumping fossil fuel into the oceans and rivers and air and burning fossil fuel. So that was their defense. The judge ruled in their favor. And I doubt, and it sounds to me like it's been set without even through appeals. So I use the pursuit, and I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody or that I discovered anything or anything like that, because it didn't work, but I said the pursuit of happiness defense. I said I wanted the trees. It's my own happiness to know that there's some old growth trees that have been left untouched by humans. So you'll hear me say that again here, and it's kind of rough sound. Sorry about that. But and I hope you keep listening, because I'll have some more wacky, zany, good stuff for you. And like I said, coming up, we have an exclusive here. Someone sent us audio from Trump's negotiations with the Taliban. I don't know. You won't hear that anywhere else. So here's Jeremy Hall, an activist. He's someone just like me that came up here. Yes, we came up from California to stop them from cutting the trees. And yeah, sorry about that. Loggers, that you all lost your jobs. You lost your jobs because of the Feller Buncher, not because of some California activist coming up here and getting arrested for the trees. So here you go, Jeremy Hall.
600 years old. Yeah. I mean, how do you replace something like that?
There's no way. You know, and the horsepower is in Red 90.
You and I were at the Detroit Red 90. What happened to that?
It's absolutely devastated. You know, it's one of the most devastated places in the Detroit district right now. The Red 90 sale was a salvage rider sale that went into some absolutely extraordinary ancient forest in clear cut. And I have a really hard time going back to it. That was a rally that, and the action that got me involved in this fight. I didn't really know that much about, you know, what was going on in Oregon. I'm originally Californian, in an area that's right next to some of the last redwoods down in Sonoma County. Mm-hmm. And I knew that it's the same kind of thing, that the hillsides around the Russian River and the tributaries that supply recreation opportunities and water for people had been destroyed by logging. And it was mostly done in, you know, in the 1850s to the 1900s. And I felt the same way, but I didn't know about things that were going on in the forest. And so when I went out to Red 90 and I realized what was happening, I was just absolutely fired up and ready to go. And Red 90 was a really important action, and I think we keep... It's great that I, you know, got a chance to talk with you again, because I keep in track of people that were involved in that. But that's... In addition to some of the other salvage sales, like horse buyers, those sales were the worst in recent history in the Detroit district.
How old were the trees in Detroit 90 and
Red 90?
And I mean, yeah,
there was there's some 600-year-old firs.
600 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you replace something like that?
There's no way. You know, and the horse buyers and Red 90 had some of the most spectacular forests, and Windy Canyon in particular this year, some of the most spectacular forests that I've seen in Detroit. And there's not necessarily trails through them, they're not areas that people go a lot, but there's incredible stratified canopy. Today in Windy, you know, we saw 80, 90, 100-year-old, 200-year-old fir or yew trees in the understory, which is, you don't see yew trees unless it's an ancient forest, and just really, really steep slopes, but incredible buttress root systems on these firs. There's evidence of big-eared bats and spotted owls and fishers and wolverines in them. You know, it's just absolutely incredible that it's gotten to the point where we have to log these, we're empowered to log these ancient forests when there's, you know, almost none of them left.
Let's just talk 1 minute about justice in America, and then I'll let you go. Okay. At the trial, you know, I said, my defense was pursuit of happiness. Okay, I said, I need to know that there's, I don't even need to go there, I just need to know that there's some areas that man hasn't gone in and that there's some ancient forest left somewhere. I just need to know that for my own pursuit of happiness, and maybe I could go visit them. And the ruling, the judge, when he sent me my ruling, he didn't even address that at all. Didn't say, you know, the pursuit of happiness, we don't use that anymore. Or it didn't even address it at all.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that he didn't do that with any of the there's 28 of us that were arrested. He didn't do that with anybody. And he's a traffic cop, basically. He listens to the violations of the basic rule of driving every day. He's not really familiar with forest issues.
So we even the venue wasn't right.
It wasn't right at all. You know, and he basically, what he did was he waited until there were some other major decisions in Nola Hill, for one, and another major court case at the time for an action that was similar to Red 90, where there was a lot of arrest. And he waited until the judges ruled in that case, and then he said, you know, that's that. I'll just go along with that.
Yeah, see, because I thought maybe we were going to set a precedent, you know, of some kind there of, I don't know.
I was hoping the same thing.
You know, that he would go, wow, you know, maybe these guys are right. And also if he would have ruled in favor of us, it might have changed the, you know, they would have used that in other cases.
Absolutely. And, I mean, it's too bad we don't have a lot of precedent-setting cases like that. And it seems that, you know, I was really excited during the trial, too. I thought the same thing. In my case, I mean, I was at the trial with you, and you heard what I said, but it was mostly about ecosystems and how amazing they are, and how during my research in grasslands and in forests, how amazed I was at the interaction between things, and that this was going to destroy that completely, and that was much more important than propping up an industry that had no respect for the land and no respect for the people. And
for their own workers.
For their own workers. And for the people that have lived in here for generations. You know, there's loggers that have been working in the industry for generations. And those jobs are going to be gone soon.
You'd think they'd be part of a family.
Yeah, you would think they would. And initially a lot of the logging operations were not like that. You know, most of them, they came out here during the heyday of logging, were companies that ran out of wood in the Midwest and moved on. That's why Detroit is called Detroit, because they looked at it as another place to go to and turn into another heyday of logging. You know, and so they had no vested interest in coming into that area. And a lot of the timber owners that are in there, the major mill owners, have been convicted repeatedly of bidding fraud and scaling theft and all kinds of violations of environmental law. And it's obvious that they have no respect for those laws or for the workers or for the fact that these forests are owned by all of us. And when 79% of Americans oppose logging, and a majority of Westerners and a majority of Republicans and third-party candidates or independent party members as well, you know, it's just incredibly ridiculous that we allow this to happen.
You know, I'm surprised also, one more thing, is that lawyers, first of all, I'm surprised a lawyer doesn't want to set up precedent, you know, for his own ego, maybe. But also, you know, in a class action lawsuit, lawyers can make money off of those, can't they?
They can. They can collect a class action suit, yeah. And that's happening now with the horse buyers case. It's been in the paper a little bit recently, but there was a series of actions, direct actions associated with horse buyers. And the judge ruled that the nine people that were arrested and somewhat brutalized by police, that they had no reason for this arrest. There was a violation of the prior restraint on free speech, violation of the First Amendment, because they closed off dozens of square miles of forest that weren't involved with the cuts. And so that's being pressed forward in a class action suit now. And we do have the ability to sue the federal government over the Clean Water Act, but we need to have a major litigant, and no one has really been willing to step to the plate except for activists. And I think that if, you know, even if the deal works out with the forcers, we'll still press forward with our suit. And it's not a class action suit, and we're raising money in order to do it, and we have enough for a retainer, and we continue to raise money to pay for our attorney.
Who's a potential litigant? Other than Breitenbush, obviously.
A municipality, someone that has water rights, uh-huh, would be, you know, a really good one. You know, folks that have Intel, for instance, that gets a lot of its water from that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of resentment for companies like that as well, for pollution and for coming into wetlands and filling them in. You know, so there's no reason why they have necessarily a vested interest in it either. They're all part of the same capitalistic multinational system. And so that's what really puts us at odds. And then, you know, a lot of the foundations and the agencies or the organizations that are dependent on ecotourism or whatever are afraid to make the political move because of any ramifications that they might have in the long term. And, you know, the politics in Oregon, even though less than 2% of Oregonians are now employed in the timber industry, is still dominated by the Old Boy Network of mill owners and Weyerhaeuser, Boise, Cascade, and Willamette Industries, and you know, the foundations that have supported them for a long time. So it's really hard to take that move, and I think that a lot of people are scared to do it and don't realize that not only do we have the moral high ground, but we have the political will together, and it takes them stepping up to make that stand. So it's frustrating, it really is. And but I think that it'll happen soon enough, and we need to be the ones that do that as well, and file these lawsuits, work on ground truthing, work on lobbying Congress people, work on the grassroots effort to get people aware of the municipalities that are dependent on the water, which is almost everybody in Oregon. Mm-hmm.
All right, I forget, where did you just come back from? Because I know you're tired.
I came back from I've been fasting and went up to spend the night in Boca Cave, which is in the Mount Hood or Mount Jefferson Wilderness area. Right now, it's the Warm Springs Reservation. And Boca is absolutely an extraordinary place, and I spent the night out there watching a meteor shower inside of this. Yeah, it's about 100 feet back into the side of this cliff that looks out of Mount Jefferson, and the cave perfectly frames out Jefferson. There's, you know, bats up there, incredible grassland right at the top of this mountain because of the water that's trickling out, and some of the purest water in the world. It's the headwaters of Devil's Creek. So it was a really exhausting experience, and that's part of the reason why maybe my thoughts aren't as coherent as they should be, but it's one of those things that I think is really important for all of us to do.
You're awestruck almost. All right, Jeremy Hall, forest activist. Thanks very much for the interview.
Thank you.
Okay.
Museum and casino built on the site where an actual rainforest once stood. See a full-scale replica of a 500-year-old Douglas fir tree. See trees larger in diameter than a man is tall. See pictures of trout and salmon that once choked the rivers of the Northwest. Every Friday and Saturday night, see Fellow Buncher and the Chainsaws, an all-ex-logger band in our simulated wood amphitheater. The Northwest Desert Highway to the Pavement Road exit until you come to the stump in the road. Turn right and you're at Sit River Premium. Kids a buck and a half, free parking, closed during summer months due to global warming. Also brought to you by Billy Bob Clinton's Missiles R Us. Hi, I'm Billy Bob Clinton, the largest dealer of missiles in the world. I've sold more missiles than anybody. I'll eat a bug to sell you a missile. I got a herd of missiles. I'm practically giving them away. They're stacked up here like cordwood. No cash, we have instant credit. We take most any type of collateral. We take oil, minerals, cheap labor, just about anything. This week's special F-15 fighters only five left, so get here fast. Take the Pennsylvania Avenue past Silo 16 till you see the crater in the road. Turn right and you're at Billy Bob Clinton's Missiles R Us. And you're closing time wearing a thong and I'll show you a wrinkled missile. Also brought to you by Radius Maximus Einstein Cranium. Do you still expect women to be people of color and inferior? Do you think George W. Bush doesn't know the lyrics to the Horse Vessel song? Do you think multinational corporations care about people and the environment? You may be suffering from terminal ignorance. Made from 100% amanita mushrooms, Gluteus Maximus Excon Cranium has been shown to actually remove the brain plaque associated with terminal ignorance. Pick up some Gluteus Maximus Excon Cranium today before it's too late. Side effects are compassion, forgiveness, introspection, and hysterical laughter.
Coming up next on KEPW 97.3 FM Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. An exclusive here on Talk is Cheap. We have audio from the negotiations by Trumpy Dumpty and the Taliban. So stay tuned for that. Thank you. All right, this is Talk Is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti, on KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming at KEPW.org. All right, so yeah, this was sent to us from an unknown source. I don't know. It's the negotiations between the Taliban and Donald Trump. They flew them in on a Boeing 747, I understand. So into Camp David. All right, so here it is. Incredible audio. Only available here.
Hey, what's the big idea? Give me that.
Oh, no, I won't.
Oh, yes, you will.
Oh, no, I won't.
Oh, yes, you will.
Oh, no, I won't.
Oh, no, you won't.
Oh, yes, I will.
Oh, no, you won't.
Yes, I will.
Oh, no, you won't.
You take it or I'll shove it down your throat.
Okay, you big bully. I'll take it this time. If you're going to be nasty about it. But I'm going to tell my big brother, and he'll fix you up, boy. Yeah.
I guess I shot him. I guess he won't try to get away with anything with me again. Hey!
All right, this is Bill Bruford, recorded live at the Catalina Bar and Grill, Los Angeles, California, 5/17/2003. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. It's his birthday.
Don't forget Modern Mono at 5.
Catalina Bar and Grill birthday show.
One of the finest center players in my country comes to us direct from Chick Corea's group, Tim Garland. Tim adds an enormous wide range of sound to the band with tenor, soprano, and all sorts of manner of instruments, particularly this next one, which is relatively little used in jazz. It's the bass clarinet. We're going to play a piece of his now. He'll do a preface, a little introduction to it beforehand, so you don't die of shock when the band comes in on the sound. This is one of his pieces called Bajo del Sol.
Thank you. KEPW 97.